Okay, it's been a couple weeks since we, you know, in our standard every week podcast schedule. There's been some baseball happening, so we probably should, you know, talk a little baseball today.
Yes, baseball continues on, even if we are not continuing on in our journeys around the country and the countries. John, you're in Ecuador, man.
I'm in Ecuador.
That's Spanish for equator.
It is. 12 hours of sunlight, 12 hours of darkness, pretty much the same temperature
always?
Every day. Yeah, never changes, right?
That's
on the
crazy.
Equator. It is.
Now, wait a minute. I thought the Earth was flat, John.
I never know what you're going to say, so that always cracks me up when it's something totally unexpected. And that was
I never know what I'm going to say either, John.
That's the greatest
it's
thing about
Tourette's.
The cold open. The cold open. Yeah, I think we may have mentioned this before, but we never rehearse any of this stuff. So it is usually totally off the cuff and totally funny, or sometimes not. But I would say we're like a 90% hit rate on the cold open.
Sometimes it's the least funny thing that anyone's ever heard.
And that makes it funny.
I guess that's true. There are things that are funny in their unfunniness.
Yes, it is.
I believe they call it unintentional comedy.
And that's what the show is all about.
No, they don't call it that, John. I just made a mistake that was hilarious.
So this is episode 103 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the airplane episode, number 3. Comedy of all time, according to IMDb, in a classic.
I'll take that. Yeah. I will take Airplane as in the, I mean, I don't know. Is it really, would it really hold up now? But that is a classic.
It is.
That is in the pantheon. It is part of the Zeitgeist or Zeitgeist, depending on how you like to pronounce words.
But the movie's, 40 years old and it still holds up.
Yeah.
It's still,
yeah, and
still,
the best part about that movie is, and this is where people make a mistake with comedy, is that movie is literally based on an actual movie with literally the same plot.
Mm-hmm.
Of they're on a plane, and like the line where he goes like, and we need to find someone who can find this plane, and someone who didn't have fish for dinner.
Right.
That was actually in the movie.
And that was the blockbuster movie, right? What was the name of that movie? It was in 1970s. There was all these, you know, the towers collapsing and earthquake and the airplane.
Towering Infernos.
All of those things.
But then sort of like disaster films before they had CGI where they could make like whole cities
and
disappear.
And it was mostly the acting.
Well, and some overacting.
Some overacting, yes, and then you'd see someone, you know, ducking to miss falling debris that was horribly, you know, the special effects at that time, not so good. Shake the camera, throw some dust in the air type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've come a long way. But back then, it was pretty significant.
Yeah. But that film is still pretty dang funny.
It is. Stop calling me Shirley.
Yes.
Don't call
Shirley,
me Shirley.
You must be joking.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar gets a nice little part in there. Yeah, it was a good film. Have a drinking problem. So many lines.
I picked a bad week to stop
sniffing glue, one of the best. Yeah. It's all good. Good stuff. So go watch it if you haven't. We don't get any royalties off of that, but it's good comedy. And still people quote
it. This episode brought to you by Airplane.
But now we got headlines to get into.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, we got 2 weeks of headlines to kind of catch up on.
Yeah. So some of these headlines are gonna not sound like headlines. They're just gonna sound like lines.
They're gonna
sublines.
A little bit
torso
of cobwebs.
Lines, is that?
A little bit of cobwebs. A little bit of dust on them, but that's okay.
Yeah. Albert let's Pujols. Dust off the Albert Pujols story. What's going on? Let's dust off the Pujols going.
Let's dust off. Albert Pujols, 2,000 RBIs, one of only 5 players, right? Or 4, depending
on
whose
stats you track. Well,
here's
the complicated part.
Right.
Right, because technically, Elias and MLB don't recognize Cap Anson and about 250 of Babe Ruth's RBIs.
Really?
Technically. Yeah.
What's the debate? It's not statistically valid. Oh, that's when
Cap Anson stopped playing. Cap Anson, like obviously that guy was playing in the 19th century, right?
Right.
But yeah, he finished his career in the late 1890s. Mm-hmm. But I think what they did was they just sort of like went back to box scores and just took their best guess. Because, you know, box scores are timeless. You can figure out everything that happened. But I guess you can't figure out everything.
If they didn't have.
So like, that's why they don't. Yeah.
And chances are pretty good that his numbers are higher than what has been tracked because probably missed a few along the way.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
I would assume that. It is one of the things that's kind of cool about baseball is how dated, how far back we go with statistics.
Right.
You know, and that they have been keeping track of box scores for, you know, 120, 30 years, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. And also it has, like, the fact that, you know, there have been these eras, you know, like the dead ball era mm-hmm. and the when they switched the mound, they lowered the mound and
right.
then the steroid era. And then, you know, like the war era where, like, can you even imagine, John, like DiMaggio and Ted Williams? They went,
yeah, what their
they
numbers
would have
been.
Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's so bizarre to think of that. Like what mindset people in a country would, like, can you imagine even anyone now doing that?
No,
like,
there would
no,
be,
thank you.
They would be, you know, running for the borders of other countries. They would be claiming issues and it's just a whole different world. And they got paid nothing back then too. The elite of the game got paid nothing.
Yeah. I mean, of course, maybe that's why they were willing to go because they weren't exactly missing out on anything.
Yeah, but it's serve your country, shoot down a few planes, come back home and play baseball again.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
As you do.
Yeah, when you have to. So
now the only thing that correlates to that is like maybe playing some video games online and then, you know, go do some Fortnite, do a little dance move.
Right.
Celebratory dance move and then get out on the field and make $20,000 per plate appearance.
So with this, the pool host, you know, kind of like playing out the string, shell of his former self, still getting the counting statistics, which, you know, you kind of run into him as long as you go out there. I mean, if he played until he was 50, he would still pick up an RBI here and there.
Yeah, that is the nature of baseball, is that even the worst player, if they play all the time, it's going to get 50 runs, 50 RBIs a season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't diminish his career, but it makes you also kind of look back and say, yeah, I remember when he was the most dominant player in baseball for 5-7 years.
Man, he was a monster.
He was. He was.
He was that number one, that fantasy baseball number one draft pick. Yeah. He was the Mike Trout.
Yeah. Most reliable, never got hurt. You know, he was always out there. Big numbers, put up the big numbers in all accounting statistics. Yeah, he's one of those guys. And then on the other hand, you got Mike Fiers, who has stumbled into 2 no-hitters in his career. You know, how did that happen?
One of the more unlikely no-hitter throwers, Mike Fiers. And what a perfect name for someone who throws a no-hitter.
Right, Fiers no-hitters.
Fiers, yeah!
We'll talk about luck this time around. 2 great defensive gems in that game. You know, he'd had to feel like, you know, God was shining down on him that day. One's robbed of a home run. Another, I think it was Jerickson Profar that made the diving catch along near the foul line.
That's right. That's right.
2 great plays. I mean, Laureano again, Spider-Manning the wall, fantastic catch. So they delivered him his second no-hitter. And he looks like
There's always one in a no-hitter, right? There's always great defensive play.
Yeah.
But he needed 2 in that one, and he got them.
Yeah, yeah. Was Burley's that one a couple years back when the final out of the game was a robbed home run for the no-hitter? I don't know. That may have been
baseball's the best.
Game. Yeah, it is. Love stuff like that.
Just as a side note here for Albert Pujols, his current wins above replacement is 0.
So he's not adding to that career statistic.
Exactly. For this year, it is 0. His on-base percentage is below 300, which is not good.
No. Not at all. So they're just
And with Ohtani back,
there.
And here's the thing. Yeah, they got true. A first baseman. They got Matt Theis in the minor leagues. Like, this is their first baseman of the future, but nope.
Yeah, stuck.
You got to hope for that plantar fasciitis to show up again for Pujols.
So we'll get to that one in a little bit, but with Ohtani. Let's talk about Chris Sale. Hard luck Chris Sale. Gets some dominant numbers with 17 Ks, but does not get the win. How does that happen?
Yeah, so 17 possible? Ks in seven innings.
A lot of pitches, though.
I was watching the game online. I wasn't watching it on TV, but I was looking at the numbers. Like, is that a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Seven, and it was, I remember it was like 15 after six. 15 strikeouts in six innings. Yeah.
Dominated.
17, and just cruising, and then gives up a two-run home run to Arenado in the seventh. So, all right, they pull him out. Also, like, these last two starts for him, like, Red Sox fans can breathe a sigh of relief because yikes.
Well, but spring then here training's we go, over.
All right. And then the bullpen's not the best, and next thing you know, the Rockies win in extra innings.
Yeah.
So
tough one.
You got, when your pitcher throws 17, I think the Rockies struck out 24 times in that game and won.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't even know how that's possible. John, in seven innings, there are 21 outs to get.
Yeah, right?
17 of them.
Four outs.
Four strikeouts.
Yeah, that's nuts.
The fielders are like, hey, Chris, let him hit one.
Yeah, we're getting tired out here.
I'm getting bored out here. I'm losing concentration. Jackie, you see Jackie Bradley Jr., he laid down to take a nap at a certain point.
But yeah, because you can when, you know. So do you think that this is the effect of, okay, now that they got the innings under their belt in April, that May is turning into more of what April should have been?
Yes. I do think with him especially, his numbers just look good. I don't think that the reason why all the April numbers were so bad was because of that other thing. But he does look like he's on track now. And, I mean, the Red Sox are rolling, as Donald Trump said after the team visited them. They went on a five-game winning streak.
So it's the Trump effect?
Hey, Trump's a winner, man. I mean, you know, he may be involved in shady business dealings, but he is a winner. In the big scheme of things.
Yeah.
You know.
It worked out for
his losses have been protected by the bankruptcy laws of the United States.
Yes. Yeah. There's $1 billion in purported losses.
Look, hey, we've all lost a little bit of money taking a chance out there, John. Hell, I lost $60,000 on a business deal about 10 years ago. It was awful.
I wince when I know what it's like. When I lose $100. It's like, ugh, damn. Bad choices.
Look, sometimes you put good money into a bad thing, or you put bad money into a good thing. I don't know. Good money after bad. And you know, it's just, you know, he's just out there trying to make business happen. And that's what he's doing for the United States right now, John.
Yeah,
just trying
great.
To do business.
Do the best he can.
It's great we finally have a fighter in there, you know?
Right.
And it's great that we finally have a businessman who can bring his...
The United
States. I mean,
he
certainly has helped increase the deficit.
Yeah, that's a good...
That's a whole problem that I have with everything right now, with all the stuff going on. Like, hey, guys, can we just cut back some of the spending?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Like, I like tax cuts and everything, but, like, can we just cut back? I actually covered this in my film a little bit, my documentary film. Like, the spending, and one guy made the best point. He says, it's once you decide that you're going to give a certain amount of money to a certain thing in a year, it's almost impossible to get people to take that away.
Right. It's hard.
You say, like, we're going to give $250,000. Doesn't seem like a lot, but there's, like, literally thousands of these $250,000 allocations in the budget. And it's just like, well, it's $250,000 to this research facility that's going to study blankety blank. And, like, well, that research facility just happens to be in the congressional district of the congressman who proposed that allocation, and so that congressman wants to keep getting reelected, and he knows he's not going to get reelected.
Unless he makes
a deal with another congressman and says, "Look,
it is crazy. It's all about job security. You know, that's really what it comes down to."
Yeah,
yeah.
You put term limits on congressmen, term limits on senators, and got to find a way to stop spending hundreds of millions of dollars just to pick candidates, because it's just, and you see it, like, now they're all turning on each other, right? All 24 of these Democratic candidates are all turning on each other, like,
all the bad
stories about Beto O'Rourke and Bernie Sanders, where they're kind of like sitting on it for the last 3 or 4 years, and like now it's like, oh no, gloves are off. Here's all the bad.
It's gonna get nasty,
and then they have to pretend like it's like none of that happened, and then they're like, oh no, we're all,
yeah, we'll forget all about that. Bernie, you know, we'll go United through the primaries and all that trashing, and then we'll forget about it. Although it worked for Trump,
it's a brutal
trashed
process.
Everybody, and it worked.
Yeah, you see, De Blasio announced.
Yeah.
Worst mayor in New York City history. And he's like, he's going to run for president. Yeah. And like, there's people chanting liar, liar outside in Times Square.
Jeez.
Outside his Good Morning America appearance.
Yeah, I don't know enough about
it. Everybody in New York hates this guy. How he got reelected, I have no idea. But this guy is like, and you know what? He honestly is just like, yeah, I'm just bored of running New York City.
So like, let's go.
I didn't really accomplish anything, and the city's worse for me having been here. But I think I'm going to run for president. It'd be fun.
Why not? Why not? What the hell?
He may be the first person to run for president where it actually doesn't improve their sort of Q rating.
Right.
Because that's the problem with running for president now, is we've talked about this before. Like, as soon as you run, like, oh, well, now your speaker fees just went up because you're a former presidential candidate.
Right.
But he might be the guy where it actually makes it worse for him.
Yeah, he's going to be yelling at his PR team afterwards. Like, I thought this was supposed to help me. I knew I'd never had a chance to win the presidency, but I thought this was supposed to help me in other areas. Not going to happen. So that's enough of the politics section of this episode, of episode 103,
of politics,
the airplane episode.
Speaking of politics, how about Joey Gallo?
Yeah, this is one of those bizarre stats. How is this the first time in the history of baseball that this has ever happened? That's crazy.
I mean, there's probably guys who got close, but he's the first player in MLB history to reach 100 home runs before getting 100 singles.
That's just nuts. But that's the epitome of today's game. You know, swinging for the fences, power game.
I mean, he is the extreme of the modern game. Mm-hmm. Lots of walks, lots of strikeouts, lots of home
singles
runs
and doubles,
very few singles.
That's interesting.
Plus
the
shift plays a part in it too. I think
the shift is
taking away his singles, or some, you know, enough that he was able to hit more. So he's just like, screw you guys, I'll just hit it over everybody's head.
So maybe there'll be a new advanced analytic about, you know, what your performance would be without the shift. You know, the hits taken away, you would have had a higher, you know, stats in certain areas, more RBIs, better average.
Well, I mean, they have some stuff about, I mean, they don't have like sort of like figuring out what your counting stats would be, but they do have stuff like line drive percentage and hard hit ball percentage. I'll tell you a little trick, fantasy baseball players. If you have a player on your team and you're thinking like, gosh, this guy's really not performing that well, and maybe I should get rid of him and try to get someone else, go to FanGraphs and look up that player's hard hit ball percentage. If it is in line with his career norms or better, keep him. It's just bad luck. If he's hitting the ball hard, it's just bad luck. But if it's dropped down 10%, like, say, Rougned Odor this year, and his strikeout rate is up 10%, maybe you want to think about moving that guy off your team. Little
that's
tip.
Some
As I always do when I have a good player or someone I normally consider to be a good player, I think, all right, before I just get rid of this guy, let me check to see what are the underlying numbers. Or if I trade for someone who's like a good example is like Chris Davis, right? Like, his numbers are actually down this year a little bit, but all his underlying numbers are good, so I'm trying to trade for him in this other league where I really need home runs.
Chris with a K.
But it's a little trick where Chris with a K, yeah, sorry. I don't even consider that other player a player just in fantasy baseball.
Because I was saying, like, wow, terrible. His numbers are, Chris with a C, his numbers are up. He's doing great.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, since the slump ended, his numbers have actually been pretty good.
Not too bad.
But another slump will come and wipe away all that. But anyway, it's just a little trick. You go in and check. You know, check. There's other things you can check too, but that's the first thing I always check is, are they still hitting the ball hard? Mm-hmm. And if they are, then screw it. Just keep them. Just, the ball will start dropping. It always does. Over 162 games, eventually the ball starts dropping.
Mm-hmm. There's your tip, kids.
Yeah. Also, I'm in first place in like every league I'm in, so trust
me. So yeah, listen to Jet.
No, that's not true. There's one I'm in fifth place. I don't know what's I'm too many injuries. But non-injury riddled teams aside, I'm basically in first place in every league I'm in.
There you go. The guru.
All the ones with money.
So the one that you're in fifth place is a low payout or no payout?
Yeah, there's no payout on it.
Oh yeah, so why bother?
Yeah.
Get all your attention in the money leagues.
Yeah, and that one I did a gut rebuild last year, and I have like five of the top 20 prospects in baseball.
So. All keeper leagues?
No, the three keepers and one, the one redraft. That's you know, one season only. That's the big money league I'm in, and that one I'm currently in first place.
And nice. And how big is big money?
First place overall is about $2,000.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. This is, first place, do you report this income?
Like, I do, actually.
Too. Yeah, it's, they probably send you something, right? If it's over $600.
No, they just, you know, I transfer it and then I funnel it through my corporation so that the corporation takes it as an income and then disperse it from there.
The corporation.
That's another little tip for you fantasy baseballers. Set up a corporation, preferably not in the state of California, by the way, because it's $800 a year. But you set up a corporation, and then you treat yourself as an employee of that corporation. It helps. Look, I'm not saying everything Donald Trump did was nefarious. That's one thing that he and his family does, and it is a legitimate thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many people in the entertainment industry. Yeah. Well, I think I switched over to an S Corp a couple years ago.
Okay. Because then everything's passed.
And now for the tax segment of Foul Territory. Yeah, so a lot of people in the entertainment industry are doing this now. So you can actually negotiate higher rates on stuff. And, of course, you take home more and whatever. You still have to pay taxes at the end of the year or throughout the year or whatever. Right. But you can actually negotiate a higher amount because the employer doesn't have to pay the employer taxes on you.
Right.
Something to think about.
Let's move on to Edwin Jackson sets the record for his playing with his 14th team.
Yeah, did he win?
I don't. He pitched the other night, didn't he?
For the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pitched, I think, yesterday or, you know, whatever. No one knows when they're going to hear this, but he pitched the other day for, I think he was kind of okay, but anyway, yeah, 14th team.
That's a lot of teams.
I mean, honestly, it seems like just yesterday he was coming up for the Dodgers and, you know, out-dueling Randy Johnson in his rookie debut.
Yeah, and he was a hot prospect, too, throwing heat.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about his story, too, is usually, except for maybe Cologne, too, is that usually it's the relief pitchers that bounce around quite a bit. Not often starters wind up on 14 teams.
But the thing is, every team he goes to, he has like a few moments where it's just like, oh, there's that talent. Mm-hmm. And so then another team is always willing to give him a chance because he always showed something the previous year to indicate that he wasn't toast.
Right, right. A couple of good eyes. Still
I look forward to seeing who the 15th team is.
Right, it's going to happen. And it very well might be by the trade deadline. Especially with with all the injuries to pitchers too. We have an article on the website, foulterritory.com, foul-territory.com, specifically about, you know, all the injuries to pitchers and, you know, anybody can, you know, if you're feeling good and your arm's loose, you know, give your favorite team a call. You never know.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Dallas Keuchel's curled up in a ball.
Sitting there, yeah.
And
he's speaking out like, you know, you got to stick to your guns. This is about principle. It's like, well, it's also about millions of dollars that you're letting slip through your fingers. I don't quite understand that logic, but okay.
Yeah. I will say, like, if he were to take a year off or whatever, like, I don't know that would be the worst thing necessarily for him.
But he's also pitching every fourth, fifth day, right? Or fifth day. He's doing simulated games just to be ready.
You know what I mean?
Or is that just talk?
I mean, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he'll be pretty much ready to go. Like when he signs, he'll need just a couple weeks to get ramped up. And then he'll come up and he'll disappoint in his first couple starts and then kind of settle back into being Dallas Keuchel.
But, you know, given all the injuries and all these IL stints that people are taking, I'd say he'll be signed by June 1st.
But maybe he's like, I'm just not doing a one-year deal. Like, if you want me, you got to sign me to 4 years.
Could be.
Tough. It's unprecedented, John.
It is. Hitters have gone through this. DHs have gone through this, but not frontline starters. This is a guy who's a number, a number 3-4 on a team?
Yeah, he's number 3. I'd say easily he's number 3.
Yeah. Strange. Strange times. Robinson Cano, here's another counting stat. But this one's a little bit more significant.
We missed 2 weeks of like record setting performances, John.
Yeah, we did. So Cano is the third player in Yankees that debuted with the Yankees to have reached 2,500 hits in their career.
Isn't that kind of interesting? Like for all the great players that the Yankees had, Mantle never got 2,500. DiMaggio never got 2,500. Of course, DiMaggio was off fighting wars. And, you know, Mantle was off fighting alcoholism and bad knees.
And demons.
And yes. You know, he was like, funny. He was my grandfather's favorite player. My grandfather was a huge Red Sox fan. But his favorite player was Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. A lot of people loved Mickey because he was such a nice guy. He's a lovable lug. But he was, I remember, you know, the whole thing with him and Maris, you know, how Maris got treated like crap because it should have been Mantle getting that record. Should have been Mickey.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine caring about something like that now?
Yeah.
Like, man, we got things that are so much more complicated than that being cared about.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing, John. I'm not saying this in a good way.
But your point, though, with the 2,500 hits is that you would assume, given all the legendary players that have played with the Yankees, that there would be more than just three.
Exactly. That was the point I was trying to make.
Got it. I'm there. And it's strange to me that Cano has reached 2,500 hits. That just doesn't seem that he's, you know, he had about a 4 or 5 year really good period, but he's kind of been lackluster, but definitely has underperformed his contract that he signed with the Mariners, now with the Mets, and still has what, 4 or 5 years left, or 4.5 years left on that?
Yeah, still got a bit to go.
Yeah,
still got a bit to go.
They'll trot him out there. He'll get his 3,000th hit at some point.
Probably going to get like 170 a year for just needs 3 more years of that.
Yeah, he'll make it.
Maybe 170 a year is a little.
That might be a little high. 150.
A little generous for him, but anyway. Yeah, so three years from now, he'll be at 3,000 hit club. Maybe he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it'll inch him closer for sure. Assuming that he does no more PEDs and performs.
Wait, did he do PEDs?
He did. He was suspended for 80 games 2 years ago.
Hey, that's right. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So let's move on to more pretty significant statistics. He's on your team, right? You picked up Presley, right? So he has 38 straight scoreless appearances dating back to last season.
Yes.
Okay. So he's continued where he left off last year.
Yeah. So I think he tied the record or broke the record. Kimbrel had it or shares it with him up in, I don't know, I guess I should probably research the story better. I apologize. But anyway, 38 straight, he's got his zero ERA this year. And again, fantasy baseball trick, guys, every now and then just pick up a relief pitcher that's just going to get zero earned runs for the whole year. It's a nice little trick.
Yeah, it'll help your team as opposed to the ones that give six earned runs.
Yeah, but like if you get someone who's got like a 1.5 ERA, but let's say he doesn't get saves and all he does is kind of get you strikeouts and a lower ERA, like that has value over the course of a season. The thing that people miss about baseball, like I'm terrible at daily baseball because I feel like it's such a crapshoot. But when you look at baseball, it's like it's 162 games. The Cubs aren't winning any games, but they're doing all the things right. They're in what, bottom of the division? Next thing you know,
they're
you
in first place.
Let it play out. Let it play out. Let it. They're in first place.
Mm-hmm.
Regression to the mean, almost always, more so in baseball than in any other sport, because there's so many games. It just evens out. Everything just kind of evens out.
The challenge in like fantasy baseball, though, is that you're like, I know it'll even out, but right now it might take until, you know, the second half of the season for it to get to the point where is that too long to wait? You know, there are certain players who have had, you know, I wouldn't say notoriously poor starters, but they do the, you know, the stops and, you know, stops and starts, like JD Martinez, for example, slow start. Now, all of a sudden popping the ball again. So he's getting back into, you know, to the place where everybody expected him to be. But I'm sure there were a lot of people who early on were just like, this is not happening for me. And I need to stake. And especially in money leagues and where you feel like, okay, I can't get too far. Like our league is screwed up. We've got five people with the 70 plus, and then we got seven people with 50 and below. It's just like a huge gap between the top tier and the bottom tier. And the bottom tier is
part of the problem is that I'm taking most of the points.
You are. You have, I think, what, seven of the 12 point statistics you've got.
Yeah. Of the 120 points available, I have 110 of them.
Yeah. That's good living.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, it's just interesting to look at ours because I can go from last place to sixth place in one night.
Right.
Given how close the bottom of the barrel is. Yeah. But I'm holding out for, you know, the longer term play. I've had a couple of underperformers in the rookie territory. A couple of guys that I held on to dropped down to the minors, which is never what you want to see happen.
Yeah, it looks like Garrett Hampson's a bust.
He's a bust.
They're Ian calling Happ, up Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, Ian Happ looks the like Rockies he's are calling, wallowing.
Yeah,
in.
Ian Happ looks like a bust.
Yeah.
But you kept Rafael Devers, and he's turned out
turned
to
it
be,
out. Yeah, slow start.
So that
then,
was a good keep.
Yep.
And then also you have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Jordan Alvarez, now the number five prospect on RotoWire's prospect list.
Nice.
Number five. Yeah.
Number five is good. No, but it's because he's
hitting 400, John.
That's a pretty good start.
With a 1500 OPS.
Double A.
Triple A.
Wow, that's even more impressive. In the Pacific Coast League? Then I'll diminish that.
I don't know if Round Rock is Pacific Coast League. I don't think it is, but it might be. But even it doesn't matter. He's like the best hitter in minor league baseball right now.
That's pretty impressive. I like that. Works for
me. They're trying him out. They're working him out at first base because that's of the Astros are amazing this year. And that's the one area where the production has been a bit light, is at first base DH. It's been a little light. So they've got Jordan Alvarez, who's usually, I mean, he's probably just a straight DH, really, right? Mm-hmm. But they got him taking reps at first base so they can, normally he would be doing outfield stuff. But they're kind of set at the outfield. I mean, Reddick isn't that great, but he's solid defensively, and his numbers are good. Not amazing, but good. Good enough, you know? And then, of course, George Springer is losing his mind this year. Yeah. Incredible.
He's having a great season.
MVP he's having candidate. A Yordan Alvarez season in the major
in the majors. Yeah. Yeah, the Astros look, in my opinion right now, the team to beat. They have the pitching. They have all the offense.
Yeah. You know. The starting pitching is a little suspect, but Cole and Verlander as a 1-2 is
they'll pick up Keuchel. Keuchel for the end run. Like, we just didn't want to pay you for half a season, but we'll get you back.
Yeah.
So Showtime is back in Orange County.
Yeah.
And how has he done?
You mean
so
Los
far?
Angeles, John?
right. And has he?
I guess.
Performed? Is he? I haven't seen any statistics.
I saw he hit his first home run the other day. Okay. I mean, he's exciting. He's great for baseball. I think he's an odd fit for that team because they really need that DH slot for Albert Pujols. But he's exciting. He's a thrill. They sent down Justin Bour.
Yeah, which that's a 2 years of
all my good stats. What was it What was I saying at the beginning of the season? The sleeper pick.
There you go.
So Justin Bour was my sleeper pick for the Angels for someone who could put up some good numbers, but man, he did not.
No.
Like, at all. So I've been right about some of my other sleeper picks, like Domingo Santana has been good. Yandy Diaz, of course, is the number one DH in fantasy baseball right now. So down there in Tampa Bay. But Justin Bour, not so good.
Can't hit them all. Even the best don't hit them all.
Especially sleepers. I think if you go 40% on sleepers, you've done a good job.
That's pretty good.
Because basically, when the guy doesn't do well, you just cut him because they're sleepers. You shouldn't
be paying
a lot for him anyway.
Holding out hope that he'll return to glory.
Yeah.
And if he gets it back together and winds up somewhere else and delivers, then pick him up later. So it looks like Felix Hernandez's career, not just moving him from the starting rotation to the bullpen, but it's quite possible that his career is winding down at only 34 years old.
I mean, could this be the end of it? Like, he actually, the first 4 weeks looked good. Not great, but like, why can't he do a CC Sabathia thing? Why do I care so much, John? I'm not a Mariners fan.
It's just
maybe I just like Seattle. Maybe that's why. It's just because I like Seattle. But
I think you can't see somebody that was so dominant for so long. You know, the first 10 years of his career, he was dominant. And then you see this fall off of tremendous magnitude. And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to reinvent myself. I'm just going to still try to get by with my 89-mile-an-hour fastball and my 87-mile-an-hour changeup. Ain't going to happen. Just think, not going to happen.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And you know it's near the end of the line when it's like they start having the Hall of Fame talk about him.
Right.
Like, oh, the injury must be worse than I thought.
Yeah. And I don't see him going anywhere else. Although he's agitated that Seattle's treated him this way.
Yeah.
But I know he is endeared to the community. He loves it there. Yeah. He's, you know, when things were good, it was really good. But now that things are bad, he seems to be a little bit agitated that they're not holding him in a higher regard. You know, but it's about what you're doing for me now, not what you did for me years ago. So unless he goes to another team that can, you know, kind of tweak with his repertoire a little bit and get him to mix up his...
Send him down to Houston. Have them...
There you go. Get his spin rate going again.
Learn the doctored ball trick that they teach down there in Houston. Because Ryan Pressly, the Twins dumped him on the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yeah, you can have him, but whatever. They didn't really get much back in return. Like, this is one of the most dominant relievers in baseball now, but he became dominant when he joined. He was good, and then he became dominant. So clearly the Houston scouts saw something in his thing, and they were like, oh, you know what? We can do our little doctored ball trick, or whatever trick they do, whatever.
Right.
And he's been basically unhittable since he joined the Astros.
So that's where pitchers should go to resuscitate their careers.
That's exactly where they should go, and they should go for free.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's places outside the league like Driveline Baseball and stuff where they can, you know, work on these, you know, increasing
spin rate
and axis and blah, 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 blah. I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's places to go. He should go. I don't want this to be the end of King Felix.
No, me neither. I don't want him to be Pauper Felix.
Yes.
That would suck. So the Yankees hit parade of injuries continues.
Yeah, Andujar out for the season.
Yeah, and a torn labrum.
So funny, at the beginning of the season, someone was offered me a Andujar for Devers trade. And I was like, I'll just stick with Devers because it was a keeper league. Same price, same projected numbers. But I was just like, it's Red Sox. I'll keep Devers.
Yeah. Smart choice.
Yeah. Anyway, Devers has been awful. I mean, obviously, if your shoulder is wrecked, you're not going to be able to hit baseballs, let alone throw them. So, yeah, he's out. And the Yankees, they just got Hicks back, and it was like, all right, we're starting to get this team back. And now Stanton's out with some other injury.
Yeah, he had a shoulder injury to boot with
turning into the next Ellsbury. They already got an Ellsbury. Jeez. We don't need two Ellsburys on one team. And again, as a Red Sox fan, part of me is like, ha, ha, ha. But then as a baseball fan, it's like, this is not good for baseball.
No, no. It's just the whole string of injuries. The last two seasons, it's been, it just seems like, remember the good old days that when a player had to be, you know, something was broken or they were limping or they couldn't pick their arm up over their shoulder for them to go on the disabled list now or the injured list. But now, yeah. You know, every
Good old days when careers were cut short. I remember, John, those
when,
were
when they made $5,000 a
salad
year.
Salad years.
The good old days. But it just, even in the, over the last, you know, several years, it just seems like, you know, the tweak, you know, injuries that you never heard of before.
Yeah.
You know, the oblique, that was a, that wasn't,
I know,
a thing.
And like, and no one's getting the plague anymore, John.
Yeah.
And
well,
like,
maybe they
you
are.
Never see a player out with polio anymore.
You've heard about measles, haven't you? It's coming back.
Hey, look,
measles are making a comeback.
Something, some retro things are coming back in style. First it was bell bottoms, now it's measles.
Measles. There you go.
Yeah, things are so bad for the Yankees. They're so injured that they actually acquired Kendrys Morales.
Yeah.
They actually chose to have him on their team.
And he was performing horribly for the A's, right?
Yes.
He was hitting like 105 or something like that.
The Blue Jays dumped him to make room for this, you know, incoming young player movement. The A's, who had some injury troubles, were like, all right, well, he's better than nothing. They found out that that is not true.
Not true, yeah.
He is not better than nothing. And then they're like, but you know what? The Yankees need a warm body.
They'll give it a shot. We'll see.
Yeah.
But the Yankees are still, you know, half game out of first place and still chugging along despite unbelievable amount of injuries.
And you know what? Boone gets a lot of crap for being a terrible game manager and, you know, being too analytics-based or whatever. But you know what? You got to give him some of the credit for that team being having a winning record with all those dudes out. Some of that's got to go to him.
A little bit, yeah. Throw him a bone.
I'm not saying all of it. I'm just saying,
as a Red Sox fan,
he doesn't deserve no credit.
So where do you sit on the Alex Cora decision to not join the team at the White House?
I absolutely support any player who chooses not to go to the, when there were players who wouldn't go when Obama was there, fine. It's a nice little political statement. The problem that I have with Cora is, A, he was upset about the Trump administration was handling Puerto Rico, but what he's upset about is actually just like the bureaucracy of FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he thinks that, like, Donald Trump is spending, like, his afternoon trying to figure out how to handle funds for Puerto Rico, if he thinks that's what's happening, then he's been reading too many New York Times articles where they say this sort of thing, and it's like, you know, a trusted aide said, and, like, how many of these stories turn out to be false, but so many people, like, half the reasons that Cora gave for things about Trump are provably false statements that have been made about him. About Trump. But again, this is how the media is failing everyone now. Like, there are legitimate things to criticize, and then they get these anonymous tips, and then they run with the story and like, oh, we'll issue the correction later. But then people think these things happen. Not everyone gets the correction.
Right.
You know? And that's not how the human mind works. You don't hear a salacious story and then like get a correction. We're like, oh, that, I'll delete that now. I'll delete that from the record.
Well, the beauty of Fox News is that they never offer corrections.
Ah.
It's just like,
I mean,
we're,
you could say, honestly, that's every news channel, though, John. I mean, come on. That's what? You don't even watch TV anymore. What are you talking about?
I haven't seen the news in 9-10 months, so I have no idea what's going on.
I'm telling you, they all have a serious problem now. It used to be more just like, well, it's just Fox News, and you kind of like, grain of salt. But now they're all that way. There's a great line in the beginning of the Tanya Harding movie? What was it? I, Tanya?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's that current affairs reporter who's like, who basically is like, yeah, we broke the story. And then like, it's fun. It's been funny watching the media turn into, you know, we were made fun of being tabloid television.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been funny over the years watching the media turn into tabloid television.
No, it's ratings.
That's
it's
what they're
news.
Doing. They want ratings and they want clicks. That's all they want.
Yeah.
They'll
fix bad.
fix the fake, the false reports later, fix the false stories. They'll do it. It's so crazy. But to hear Cora going on about like this reason and that reason, but like those have been proven to not be true. Look, he should be in the White House telling Donald Trump, help my country, help my state.
Right.
It's not country. It's a property.
Territory.
No, territory. Help my territory. Help my hometown, Donald. Do it.
Yeah.
You think Donald Trump, look at what Kim Kardashian did with Donald Trump.
Yeah. Cora could have made a huge impact.
And she's a horrible monster person. I'm just saying, you're gonna get more flies with honey. You know, you want more flies in Puerto Rico? This is a terrible analogy. I apologize.
So tell me about this racist gesture made by a Cubs fan. I don't know anything about this one.
Okay, so you know how some people think that the OK symbol is now a white power symbol?
Really?
Yeah, there's some people. So basically, some internet trolls on 4chan who are notorious for doing this kind of stuff decided to start saying that the OK symbol, the thumb and index finger, means white power.
Well, I think that when you do it and you hold it down by your side, that's a little bit different than when you're holding it up saying OK.
Well, but is it though? Because people have gotten in trouble for holding it up. Because people are getting in trouble over stupid things now.
Oh yeah,
it's not just a white power symbol. Like the OK symbol, like, is an OK symbol. Now, you know, apparently the team investigated this guy and they banned him from the stadium for life.
Because he's
the Cubs
a white
have.
Supremacist?
Apparently.
Wow. This is just crazy.
I'm
what
surprised
kind
they
of
didn't
the
release his name and then, like, make him lose his job. And
jeez. So we're
like
micro-focused on things. We're micro-focused that we want to, you know, find coffee cups in Game of Thrones episodes.
Yes.
That we want to see
John,
Jamie Lannister has a hand hugging Cersei.
Right, exactly.
You know, all of that.
Exactly.
Stuff. That's
or
important.
Jamie Lannister, like Jamie Lannister holding a coffee cup in another scene.
Was there?
Yeah, from a previous episode.
Who cares? I love continuity mistakes. I usually see them. I didn't see that one. You know, I have a tendency to pick up, you know, like the glass is half full. Now it's empty. The roll that they're eating has one bite. Now it has four bites. It's stuff like that. You know, I pick up on those all the time. But, you know, turning it into such a huge, you know, but I think HBO made, you know, had some fun with it, too. They made a comment about, you know, it was the wrong drink. It should have been a, you know, something different. And, you know, they just had fun with it, which was good. So, yeah, we're not even in
the
extra
innings.
But it is
a micro-focused society now, man.
Yeah, we are.
It's just micro-focused society.
So you can't do anything. No gestures, no smirks, no comments. Yeah. You can't say anything without somebody attacking you for, you know, being inappropriate. Because we're a woke society.
We are woke.
So I don't know anything. Again, I don't know anything about this one. So rain delay policies. Some lawmaker in New York is asking the Major League Baseball to create new policies. What is that about?
He wants MLB to basically, if the game's not going to start an hour after it's supposed to start, just then the game gets canceled, and that the ticket holders get compensated with another ticket to another game.
I think that's fair, especially with the prices in New York. That would make sense.
Yeah, I think in most cases something like that could work. The only problem is when you get into situations where it's like Fenway Park or Dodger Stadium, where there's closer to sellout.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, well, what ticket do you get? If you had a field seat, do you get a top deck seat?
Right.
But, yeah, I think that with the advancing technology and communication, like, there should be better ability to... Or you know what? Maybe there shouldn't, and it's just baseball.
There you go.
What's next?
Major League Baseball switching from TrackMan to Hawkeye. I'm assuming this is for tracking balls and strikes?
Yes, it's the radar system. Hawkeye is what they used for tennis games. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the super close-up animated blah, blah, blah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Fans get into it, too.
Anyway, I don't know if that means TrackMan goes out of business, but I'm sure they're also being used elsewhere. But you got to figure time to downsize over at TrackMan.
Right. So let's move on to starting nine in honor of the Kentucky Derby, the most controversial Kentucky Derby in history, and the Preakness, which is this weekend, I believe. Nine right. players with famous horse names. This should be fun.
Yes. Yes. So I was going to do like a whole Kentucky Derby horses, but like no one knows these names other than like extreme Kentucky Derbyists. So here we go. You ready? CC Biscuit Sabathia.
There you go. Like it?
Okay. Mr. Ed Encarnacion.
Mr. Edwin?
Okay. Well, Mr. Ed.
I like Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Fernando Secretary Tatis Jr. Tatis. Secretariat.
Okay. Good.
Secretary Tatis. Justin Fye Turner. Justify?
Oh, Justify, sure. Justin
Fye. Yeah, I remember that one. That's the least famous one on here.
Okay. But it works.
For my Lord of the Rings peeps, Shadowfax Long.
Shadowfax.
That's
is it Shadowfax?
That's Shadowfax.
What is Shadowfax?
That's what's his name's horse? That's Gandalf's horse.
Yeah, whatever.
G-mon Choi a War. Man o' War.
Okay. Got it.
Seattle Shinsu Slew.
He's back.
Gets in here a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Ty Black Beauty.
Nice.
Ty Beauty.
Nod to the Hollywood scene. Nice. Black Beauty.
Yeah. What do I got here? Oh, Bojack Flaherty Horseman.
That's my favorite one. Bojack Flaherty.
And the greatest of all time, Mike Trout, War Admiral. But it's War, all capitals.
I got
war.
It.
Wins Very above nice. Replacement.
One of the most famous horses ever.
Yeah.
War Admiral. Here we go. That wraps up starting nine. So let's take a look at extra innings, what's going on outside the world of baseball. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Bruins in the cup.
Swept their way in.
Piece of cake.
Very exciting. Piece of cake against the team that shouldn't maybe have been there. But.
Right, right. With all the upsets this year. So it's going to be the Bruins and the Sharks or the Blues. It's going to be a marquee matchup. I think the Bruins are probably liking their chances.
I mean, it's hockey, though, so it can go anyway, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're probably rooting for St. Louis so they don't have to make that cross-country trek because that's a bastard, you know? Those West Coast teams never do well on the East Coast type of thing. That's football. So, but yeah, really, really exciting. Except for that one, you know, all the other series have been relatively close. The Bruins have kind of cakewalked in. So they'll be rested going into the finals. In the NBA playoffs, we have, again, it looks like the Warriors have to do a lot wrong to lose, you know, against the Portland. Up 2-0. And the beasts from the East this year, the Bucks are up 1-0, and I think they play tonight. And it should be a great matchup. Bucks, I think, Bucks-Warriors would be the final in the NBA. Have you watched any of the games?
Yeah, I've been trying to watch a little more of the East stuff because I think that's more interesting than watching the Warriors go to the finals again. But
don't let your parents hear that. They won't be happy.
Yeah. They love it. They love the Warriors.
So what do you have to say about Tiger Woods and his Presidential Medal of Freedom?
I love it. Guys, you know, greatest career comeback in the history of sports. I love it.
Got a little weepy eye?
Why not? Presidential Medal of Freedom for being good at golf. I love it. If Oprah
best.
Can get one, then why not Tiger Woods?
So what's coming up next?
Check out the season finale of the baseball show that's all about pop-ups and bunts. Small Bang Theory.